over this house. We're getting ready to turn to the word of the Lord. Amen. I would like to one more time greet all of our visitors. If you could give them a warm welcome and clap your hands unto the Lord for all of our visitors today. We're so thankful to have you in the house of the Lord. Amen. And your presence is not taken lightly today. I'm glad to be able to spend a few moments with you today. Amen. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. It takes more than a few challenges in worship songs to get rid of the Lord today. Amen. Surely His presence is in this place. I believe He's touching people. I believe He's making ways. I know that the Lord has given me a word for this body today. I'd like to turn your attention to the book of Exodus, the 4th chapter. I'm going to be reading verse 1 through 5. The book of Exodus, the 4th chapter. I'll be reading verse 1 through 5. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture. I know you've probably read it many times. But I believe the Lord spoke something very peculiar into my spirit concerning this text this week. And I want to share with you what God has placed on my heart in the book of Exodus. You can shout yes when you're there. Exodus, the 4th chapter. If you don't have a Bible, see us before you leave this place today. We want to make sure you have one. Every home needs a Bible. Amen. Needs the Word of God in it to put the devil on the run. Amen. Exodus 4, 1 through 5. If you do not have your Bibles, the text is up on the screens behind me. Amen. The Word of the Lord says, "And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee." Now Moses, standing on Mount Horeb, he's been tending the sheep on the backside of a desert. He's been fleeing for his life because he killed an Egyptian man for beating a Jewish slave. And here the Lord is speaking to Moses from a burning bush. Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee." And the Lord said unto him, Moses, "What is that in thine hand?" And he said unto the Lord, "It's a rod." And the Lord told him, he said, "Cast it on the ground." And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. The 4th verse says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and he caught it," the Bible says, "and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee, Moses." Sometimes, church, you have to allow God to speak to you in your fear. And speak into your spirit and tell you, take it by the tail. Take it by the tail. Amen. I want to speak into your spirit today this. Take it by the tail. Let's magnify Him together for just a moment all over this house. Come on, thank Him for waking you up this morning. Thank Him for starting you on your way today. Come on, give Him praise, for the Lord is good today. His mercy endureth forever. The Lord is good today. Isn't He good today? Isn't the Lord good today? Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord is so good. The Lord bless you. You may be seated for a few moments. Amen. You may be seated, but don't sit down on the Holy Ghost today. Amen. I'll tell you, I'll preach better if you'll amen me. I'll preach better if you'll amen me. Amen. Amen. Today we want to take a look for just a few moments at Israel's first pastor. Amen. The prophet Moses. We're reading in our text today about the life of a man who was used in amazing ways for the kingdom of God. We look at how that God used Brother Peter, a broken man. We look at how that God used a man that had been through so much to accomplish extraordinary feats. A man who had some disappointments in his life. A man who had some failures in his life, but the Lord used him in amazing ways. His people were taken into bondage. His mother conceived and had him. When she had him, she placed him in a basket in the Nile River and sent him upstream, or downstream rather. It's kind of hard to send a basket upstream. But his mother put him in a basket and sends him downstream to be found by Pharaoh's daughter. And there, Pharaoh's daughter, the Lord works it out to where Moses' mother actually became the midwife. How many know the Lord finds a way to work it out? The Lord finds a way to work it out. And Moses is raised by his own mother, who they think is his midwife. But God knows exactly what he's doing. And he's raised in the palace of Pharaoh of Egypt. When Moses becomes a man and realizes, they tell him that he is of a Jewish descent. And he's angry because of all of his Jewish cultures and all the things that have been stolen from him. He's out in the field one day, Brother Eric, and he sees an Egyptian man beating a Jewish slave. And there Moses is filled with anger, and he raises up against this Egyptian man, and he kills this Egyptian man for beating this Jewish slave. And when he does this, he realizes that he's going to be put to death, so he immediately flees for his life. Now he's tending to his father-in-law Jethro's sheep on the backside of the desert in Midian. And still, God has not deserted him. And still, God wants to use him. We're reading, Brother Joe, about a broken man who's been through so much in his life, so much turmoil, so many problems, so many challenges, and still God wants to use him. Man, I tell you what, if that don't give us all hope today, I don't know what I can do for you. If that don't give you some hope today that God still wants to use you despite of everything you've been through, despite of all the times you let him down, despite of all the times you failed miserably, if that don't give you hope today, I don't know what's going to give you hope today. But God used a man. Still, God did not desert him. Still, God wanted to use him. So he's tending to his father-in-law's sheep at Mount Horeb. And here we take our text and we see that the Lord speaks to him from a burning bush that is burning but not being consumed. The bush is burning, amen. It typifies the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. Come on, it burns like a fire in our life, but it don't consume us. It gets rid of all the chafe in our life. It rises us above the sin in our life, but it don't consume us, amen. Amen. It still allows you to make your own choices, have your own free will, live your own life, and every day of your life, you got to choose God. As this burning bush typified, it symbolized the Spirit of our living God today. Amen. And here he is, Moses, tending to his father-in-law's sheep at Mount Horeb, the Lord begins to speak to him from a burning bush. And it's here in this place that the Lord validates the ministry of Moses. It's here in this place that the Lord calls Moses to lead the children of Israel out of bondage. Moses does not feel qualified. Raise your hand if you feel qualified today. None of us feel qualified for God to use us the way that he uses us. Moses does not feel qualified today. He begins to negotiate with the Lord. He begins to look for reasons to give God why he cannot do what God has called him to do. Anybody ever been there? Anybody ever felt that way? Anybody ever felt like, I just don't know if I can do what God has called me to do? And right here in this moment, this is when the Lord decides to use something that has become normal in the life of Moses. He uses the rod of Moses. Now, this is John Biddle's rod. This is actually my walking stick. It's the closest thing I got to a shepherd's stick. But the Lord uses the rod of Moses, Brother Eric. And the more I think about the rod of Moses, the more I think about the position that Moses was in. And we find out that Moses had fled for his life and he's tending to sheep on the backside of a desert in Midian. And here we know that as Moses is tending to the sheep, every shepherd has a rod. And you know what? That rod, that shepherd's life depends on that rod. He doesn't just use that rod to steer the sheep. He uses that rod to fend off the predators. He uses that rod to climb the rocks. He uses that rod to lean up on when he gets tired. That rod means life or death to that shepherd. And I want you to realize something that the Lord did that was very significant. He looks at Moses and he tells Moses, he says, "What is that in thine hand?" And Moses turns to the Lord and he says, "It's a rod." And you know what the Lord says to him? The Lord says, "Cast it down on the ground." He said, "Cast it down on the ground." Amen. And when Moses cast the rod down on the ground, the Bible says that it turns into a serpent. It turns into a serpent. Now, I believe that these things help you visualize. The Bible says that when Moses cast the rod down onto the ground, it turns into a serpent. Now, here we are on Mount Horeb. The Lord is speaking to Moses from a burning bush. Moses is finding reasons as to why he cannot do what God has called him to do. Amen. And it's here that the Lord decides to use something that Moses has in his hand, and Moses says, "It's a rod." Now, tell your neighbor today, God will use what you got. God will use what you got. You might not feel like you got what everybody else has got, but God will use what you got. Can I tell you today, it don't matter what you got. What matters is, are you willing to use it for the glory of God? All Moses had, Moses done left Egypt. Moses done left everything that he had. Moses done left a life of luxury, and all he's got left is his rod. And now the Lord is telling him, cast your rod down on the ground and the rod becomes a serpent. God will use what you got. He will use what you got. Amen. And here he tells Moses to throw down his rod. It turns into a serpent. Moses is afraid of the serpent. So the Bible says he runs. How many like snakes? I don't like snakes. I have this big old black snake in my house, about scared to Dickens out of me and Brother Barkley one day at my house. He come out of a wood pile. Man, he looked like he was 50 feet long. That's a slight exaggeration. But he was big. And I'm not a big fan of snakes, Brother Levi. Biddle, he's not scared of snakes. When we was down at the other place, he caught a snake that was in the church house. How many know there's snakes in the church house? Look, by the end of this sermon, they're sure enough going to call us crazy. You think they called us snake handlers before? You wait till the end of the sermon. Huh? I'm not a big fan of snakes. I'm scared of snakes. And, you know, the Lord tells Moses to throw down his rod. It becomes a snake. And Moses flees in fear. And the Bible says that the Lord looked at Moses as he's fleeing in fear. And listen to what he tells Moses. That God speaks a turning point into the life of Moses. Because Moses is used to running. Moses is used to fleeing. Moses killed an Egyptian in the field, and he had to run for his life. Now he's all the way on the backside of a desert in Midian, and he's tending to sheep when he grew up in the king's palace. Moses is he knows all about running. But this time, the Lord speaks a turning point into the life of Moses, and he said, Moses, you've run enough. It's time for you to stop running, Moses. I want you to turn around. I want you to walk over there, and I want you to take that thing, and I want you to take it by the tail. And the Bible says that when Moses reached down and he took it by the tail, he says immediately it became a rod again in his hand. It became a rod again in his hand. Hallelujah. Come on, can I tell somebody? Listen, now, if you've ever watched an experienced snake handler, and I like to watch that stuff, you know, Turtle Man, stuff like that. You ever watched an experienced snake handler? They use a technique, Sister Vicky, that's called telling the snake. All right, and what they do is on most type of snakes, now not boa constrictors, don't try to do this on a boa constrictor. But on most types of snakes, you can grab the snake by the tail, and by pulling the body of the snake, you can restrict its movement. And what they do is then they take a hook and they put it up to the front of the snake's head to keep the snake from biting them. It's called telling the snake. And they use that hook to keep them from getting bit. In short, what I'm trying to tell you today is you got to be smarter than the snake. I said all that to tell you this. You got to be smarter than the serpent is. I said all that to tell you this. If you're going to be a child of God, if you're going to be victorious in God, if you're going to defeat the devil, if you're going to learn to resist and or rebuke the devil, you're going to have to be smarter than the serpent is today. You're going to have to learn how to tell the snake. Come on, I want to tell the children of God that are under the sound of my voice today, if you're going to take dominion over that serpent, you got to be smarter than that serpent is. You got to be smarter than that serpent is. That's not a judgmental statement. That's an unchangeable fact. If you don't want to get bit, you got to be smarter than the serpent is. And if you're going to live for God, you got to be smarter than the snake is. Amen. I feel the Spirit of God today wants to empower us with the knowledge of how to handle our enemy. Because if you never learn to resist him and or rebuke him, you're always going to have to be smarter than he is. And if you never learn to resist him or to rebuke him, he's always going to make your life miserable. He's not going to leave you alone. He's not going anywhere. He was in the garden with Eve, and he's with us today, troubling us, trying to mess up our lives, trying to mess up our walk with God, trying to mess up our marriages, trying to mess up our health, trying to mess up our homes, trying to mess up everything about our life that God has given us. He's still troubling us today. And if you're going to learn to rebuke him or resist him, you're going to have to be smarter than he is. Amen. Think about what God did in the life of Moses. He used something very simple. It was really all that Moses had left, his rod. And when the Lord said, cast it down, come on, he was asking him to give up the only thing that he had left. What the Lord was saying was, Moses, put your security in me. Moses, learn to lean upon me. Moses, I will be your protector. Moses, I will be your defender. Moses, I will be thy strength and thy rod. Moses, just learn to trust in me. And he was telling Moses to cast down the only thing that he had left, his rod. Moses depended on that rod. Moses leaned on that rod. Moses climbed with that rod. Moses protected himself and his sheep with that rod. But the Lord told Moses to cast it down. The Lord told him to cast it down. It was all he had left. Can I tell you, that day Moses chose faith over fear. Can I tell you, today is your day for you to choose faith over fear. Come on, can I tell you, today is the day to put up or shut up. Can I tell you, today is the day to choose faith over fear. Today is the day that you talk about God's favor or you put it on display. Today is the day you talk about having faith in God or you put it on display. We got to choose God every day of our life, church. We talk about God's favor. We need to put God's favor on display. Moses had to make a decision. And can I tell you, we talked about it in the morning session this morning. Today, you're going to have to make a decision. Every child of God came or will come to the same place that Judas found himself, where he has to make a decision. You have to make a decision. Am I going to turn from the Lord or am I going to stay with him? And Moses made a decision that day. Moses decided not to flee from the serpent. He had to make a decision. Was he going to flee from the serpent or was he going to reach down and was he going to pick it up by the tail? Can I tell you, Moses made the right decision. Can I tell you today, you can make the right decision. Can I tell you today, you can take it by the tail today. The title of this message is Take It By The Tail. And listen, when Moses reached down and he took that serpent by the tail, it became a rod again in his hand. And when he done that, it became something that God would use over and over and over and over again to bring the miraculous into his life. Come on, you remember the story? You know that when Moses reached down and he picked up that rod and God told him, he said, you're going to go to Egypt and you're going to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Moses walks into the home of that dictator and he tells Pharaoh, he said, I'm Moses and I'm the new pastor in town. And guess what? God said, let my people go. And Pharaoh looks at Moses and he begins to laugh at Moses. And Pharaoh says, I tell you what we're going to do. God's going to bring some plagues upon Egypt. And the Lord speaks to Moses, and he tells Moses, and God used that rod that he threw down on the ground. He gave it to God. Come on, somebody. He gave it to God. And when he reached down, he picked up that serpent. It became a rod in his hand, but it wasn't the same rod that it used to be. Can I tell you, when you give it to God, it's not going to be what it used to be. But this time when he got the rod in his hand, come on, the Lord tells Moses, he said, all right, he don't want to let my people go. Just go over there to that Nile River, and I want you to take that rod, and I want you to strike that river. And guess what happened? That river turned to blood. And the lifeline of those people was taken away. And come on, somebody. And then Pharaoh says, well, I still ain't going to let God's people go. So the Lord tells Moses again, he says, go back over to that river, Moses, and I want you to strike that river again. And this time frogs begin to come out of the river. Can I tell you, when you give it to God, it'll never be the same. When you give it to God, it'll be transformed. When you give it to God, it'll bring about the miraculous in your life. When you give it to God, it's no longer yours. It belongs to the Lord God Almighty, and it'll bring about the miraculous in your life. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost today. Y'all can sit down if you want. I'm going to preach because I feel like preaching today. And he reaches down and he hits that river and frogs begin to come out of that river. frogs so bad they couldn't do nothing. They couldn't sleep in the bed. They couldn't eat at the dinner table. They couldn't do nothing. Frogs everywhere. I'm not talking about frogs you want to gig and eat their legs. I'm talking about too many frogs. I'm talking about frogs messing up your life. And frogs come out everywhere, and still Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He says, I'm not going to let God's people go. They're my slaves. They're not leaving Egypt. So the Lord tells Moses again, because this ain't the same old rod that it used to be. And the Lord tells Moses again, he says, this time I want you to go over to the dust of the earth, Moses. I want you to take that rod and I want you to strike it upon the dust of the earth. And Moses takes that rod and he strikes it upon the dust of the earth. And the dust begins to turn to gnats, and gnats filled all the land. And now Pharaoh is rethinking his decision. Not only is his lifeline taken away, not only are the frogs plaguing him like he never thought possible, but now he's got all these gnats and he can't even take a breath without gnats in his nose. The Lord used the rod of Moses to perform the miracles in the first three plagues in Egypt. Imagine if Moses had not given God that rod. Imagine if Moses had said, Lord, I can't do it. It's all I got left. It's how I protect the sheep. It's how I climb the rocks. It's how I do this. It's how I do that. But Moses didn't do that. When he said, throw it down, he threw it down and became a serpent. And God said, stop running, Moses. You don't have to run no more. I'm with you now. And you need to reach down and you need to pick up that serpent. And when he did, it became a rod again. When he did, it became a rod again. Listen to me, there's an old biblical principle at work here. When the Lord told Moses to throw down that rod, there's an old biblical principle at work here. What he was saying was what Jesus said in the New Testament, if any man save his life, he's going to lose it. But if any man lay down his life for my name's sake, he said he's going to find it. Can I tell you today that what Moses found was far better than what he laid down? Can I tell you today, I know it might seem hard for you to give it all to Jesus today. I know it might seem hard for you to give your marriage to Jesus today and your health to Jesus today and your pains and your hurts to Jesus today. But if you'll give them to the Lord, it'll never be the same. It'll never be the same. And the Lord told Moses, throw down that rod, Moses. And he threw it down and he picked it up. And it became a serpent and he picked it up and it became a rod again. My God, it was never the same. The Lord used it miraculously over and over and over again. Let me tell you something. There are people in this room right now. There are people under the sound of my voice right now. They have given things to God, and God has used it time and time and time again in the lives of other people as a testimony of God's goodness and God's grace, and people are still seeing the miraculous because they gave it to God. Because they gave it to God. Whosoever shall save his life is going to lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my name's sake, he's going to find it. Church, what he found was much better than what he laid down. And let me tell you something. If you'll give your life to Christ today, if you'll give your family to Christ today, if you'll give everything about you to Christ today, what you pick up will be far greater than what you laid down. My God. Moses would use that rod in the first three plagues that came upon the land of Egypt. Pharaoh wouldn't let God's people go. Amen. The Lord continued to show him who was the boss. How many know the Lord is the boss? Come on, just when you think you got it all figured out, just when you think you know what you're doing, the Lord will show you he's still the boss. The Lord is still the boss. And when Pharaoh thought he was going to hold God's people in bondage, come on, he thought, man, who you think you are? You come walking into my palace after you done killed one of my soldiers. You done fled to the backside of Midian. You're a sheep herder, Moses, and you think you're going to walk into my house and tell me to let these people go. And Moses says, you don't understand. I ain't the man that left here. You don't understand. God has done manifested himself to me. I was tending those sheep on the backside of a desert. I saw a bush that was burning with fire, but it was not being consumed. The Lord spoke a turning point in my life and told me to throw my rod down on the ground. And when I did, it became a serpent. And then the Lord told me to stop running and pick it up again. And when I picked it up, it became a rod in my hand again. It became a rod in my hand again. And now the Lord will use it to bring his people out of Egypt. And that's exactly what the Lord did. Come on. Can I tell this church today? The Lord used Moses and that rod for the first three plagues that were in Egypt. The Lord would use Moses and that rod to cause water to flow out of a rock so God's people would not thirst to death. The Lord used Moses and that rod when they came to the Red Sea and Egypt was following behind them with all of its armies. And the Lord used the rod of Moses. He says, stretch out that rod over that Red Sea, Moses. And a wind blew and the waters parted. And dry ground was before God's people. And they walked through the water. And they came out on the other side in the land of their promise. Come on, somebody. God will use what you got. God will use what you got, but you got to be willing to give it to him. What if Moses had said, Lord, I can't give up my rod. Lord, I can't cast down my rod. What if Moses had said, Lord, I can't pick up that serpent? What if Moses said, Lord, you know I'm afraid of snakes? But that day Moses chose faith over fear. And that day Moses reached down and he picked up the very thing that he was afraid of. And when he did, it turned into the miraculous. I come to tell somebody in this house today, I know what you're dealing with has you afraid. I know what you're going through might be troubling you. I know what you're facing might seem surmountable today. I understand that what you've been through in your past, you may feel like it's never going to leave you alone. But I come to tell you, sure, as I'm standing behind this sacred desk today, the Lord will turn what you give him into the miraculous today. He'll do it. Turn to your neighbor and say, he'll do it. He'll do it. He will turn what you got into the miraculous. Come on. Can I tell you? Can I tell this church today? The Lord would use Moses' rod to part the Red Sea and his enemies to be destroyed in the midst of the waters of the Red Sea. The Lord would use that rod to get them into the land of Canaan, to where Joshua could take over and cross over the Jordan River and get them into the promised land. The Lord would use the rod that Moses surrendered to him. Can I tell this church today, the hills that you're climbing, the valleys that you're going through, they're not for your destruction, they're for your construction. Can I tell you that God will use your wilderness experiences? God will use the valleys that you've been through. God will use the attacks of the devil on your life for your construction. He's not destroying you, he's making you. He's fixing you. He's creating something in you. That's what God is doing. That's what God was doing to Moses, and that's what God is doing to us. We can learn a lot from the first pastor of Israel. Come on. We can learn a lot today from the first pastor of Israel. I can hear the Lord telling Moses, Moses, I know you're afraid. Moses, I know you're used to running. Moses, I know you've been dealt some bad cards in life. I know that life hasn't been fair to you. I know that you have your own challenges, Moses. But you need to pick up that serpent. And when he did it, church, when he did it, it became a rod again. But it was not the same rod that it was before. Let me tell you something. When the Lord stood on the seaside teaching all those people, and he turned to his disciples and he said, "These people got to be hungry. They've been here all day with us." He said, "We need to find them something to eat." And one of his disciples says, "Lord, look at how many people there are here. Where are we going to get enough food to feed all these people?" And the Lord says, "Just see what you can get." And they go and they find a little lad. He's got a few fishes and 5 loaves of bread. And let me tell you something. That lad willingly gives what he had to the Lord. And the Bible says he gave it to the disciples. They gave it to Jesus. And when Jesus returned it to their hand, he multiplied it. Can I tell you, when he gave it back, it was not what it was before. But it fed all 5,000 men alone, not counting the women and the children. It turned the ordinary into the miraculous. God is able to take what you give him today and turn it into the miraculous. Can I tell this church today, the hills you climb, the valleys you go through, they're not for your destruction, they're for your construction. God uses our struggles. God uses our wilderness experiences. God uses the attacks that come our way, that seek to destroy us. God uses all these things to build us into what he wants us to be. Hear me, Moses. I know you're afraid. The fear is not your future. Jesus is. Heartbreak is not your home. Jesus is. Sickness is not your story, Moses. Jesus is. Come on, but you got to choose faith over fear. The thing that is troubling you, the thing that is besetting you, the thing that is causing you to want to throw in the towel, you got to reach down when the Lord says, take it by the tail, and you got to pick it up. There are people in this room today that got little miniature snakes. They're going to really call you snake handlers after this service. I want you to get that snake out of your pocket. And on the count of three, when I say take it by the tail, I want you to snatch that snake by the tail, and I want you to hold that thing. I want you to stand up before God. I want you to think about something in your life that's been troubling you, something that's been besetting you, something that's been hurting you, something that you can't get out of your mind today. One, come on, stand to your feet right now. One, two, three, I want you to get that snake out of your pocket. I want you to hold it up before the Lord. I want you to believe God to turn it into something miraculous. Now I want you to find somebody else and give it to them so God can turn it into something miraculous. Hallelujah. Fear is not your future, church. Sickness is not your story, church. Heartbreak is not your home, church. Jesus is. But you got to be willing to take some stuff by the tail and give it to God today. If you just be willing to take it by the tail, Jesus is your future. But you got to take some stuff by the tail and you got to take dominion over it. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Come on, somebody. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I fear? Come on, if Moses had not chosen faith over fear, he would not have experienced the miraculous. What if? What if Moses had said, "I can't do it, Lord"? He would have never seen those plagues in Egypt. He would have never seen water flowing from a rock. He would have never seen manna fall from heaven. He would have never seen the Red Sea open wide and let God's people cross us across on dry land. Moses would have not seen the miraculous if he had not decided to take it by the tail and choose faith over fear. Moses had not chosen faith over fear, he would not have experienced the miraculous. God said, Moses, you ran last time when you killed that Egyptian, but you ain't going to run this time. Reach down and take it by the tail. Reach down and choose faith over fear. Reach down and face the very thing that's causing you turmoil, Moses, and take it by the tail. As the musicians come quickly, that's officially my first closing. Y'all already know. What do you have to lose by trusting God? Let me tell you, Sister Brittany, you got a whole lot more to lose by not trusting God. The miraculous is in your future. God's provision is in your future. God's blessings are in your future. But you got to choose faith over fear. You got to choose to reach down that thing that is troubling you, that thing that is besetting you, that thing that is always in the back of your mind that you cannot get out of there. You got to be willing when God says it's time to stop running from it and face it. Reach down. Take dominion over it. Reach down and take it by the tail. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Take it by the tail. 1,000 shall fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand. Take it by the tail. Come on, somebody. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. Take it by the tail. All hell shall assail me, but God will never leave me nor forsake me. Take that thing by the tail today. Come on, your marriage may be in trouble. Your finances may be in trouble. Your health may be in trouble. But I come to tell you today, it's time for you to stand up, listen to the voice of God, and take some stuff by the tail today and choose faith over fear. When you take it by the tail, it'll turn into something that God will give you to use over and over and over and over again to achieve the miraculous in your life. Your testimony, it's not something to be taken lightly today. Where you've been through, God wants to use it for His glory today. Come on, what God has given you victory over, God wants to use it for His glory today, but you got to give it to Him. You got to be willing to throw it down. If any man save his life, he's going to lose it. But if he be willing to lay it down for my name's sake, he shall find it. I want to find what God has in store for me. I don't want to live in my past. I don't want to live in my failures. I don't want to live in my disappointments. I don't want to live in my depression and my anxiety. I want to give it all to the Lord. And I want to see Him turn it into something miraculous. Take it by the tail. You can do it, Moses. You can do it, Moses. I want you to know something today. When that rod became a serpent and Moses fled from it, God spoke to him and He told him to take it by the tail. If he had not done that, Moses misses out on every miracle. That one decision, you don't understand why your pastor is so hard about you being faithful to the house of God. But can I tell you, that one decision could have cost Moses everything. All he had to do was refuse to throw down the rod. All he had to do was refuse to reach down and take the serpent by the tail. It cost him everything. It cost him everything. Not a single miracle. Not one time standing before Pharaoh. Not the Nile turning to blood. Not the frogs coming out. Not the gnats coming out of the earth. None of these things would Moses have ever experienced if he didn't obey the voice of God when he told him to reach down and take it by the tail. You can do it today. You can do it today with the help of God. You can choose faith over your fear, and you can face the very thing that's trying to destroy you today. But you got to give it to God. God spoke to him. He told him to take it by the tail. If he hadn't done that, he misses out on the miraculous. Moses never gets his staff back. The serpent didn't turn back into the staff until it was in the hand of Moses. You realize that, right? You realize that when he threw it down and it turned into a serpent, Moses' blessing, Moses' miracle, all depended on the fact that he decided to reach down and take the serpent by the tail. It did not turn back into a rod. Moses could have stood there as long as he wanted and hoped that that serpent was going to turn back into that rod, and it never would have turned back into that rod until he reached down and he picked it up. It became a rod in his hand, and it was so much more than a rod. Can I tell you, that addiction that you have overcome is so much more than an addiction that you have overcome. It's a rod in the hand of Moses. It's going to part seas in people's lives. Come on, somebody, that depression that you defeated, that alcoholism that you defeated, is so much more than alcoholism. It's a rod in the hand of Moses, and it's going to deliver God's people out of their afflictions. Deliver God's people out of their afflictions. Come on, would you give him what's bothering you today? Would you give him what's troubling you today? Would you give him what's hurting you today? God wants to turn it into the miraculous. Hallelujah. Moses fled in fear. Moses was afraid of that serpent. But when the Lord spoke into his life, what is that, Brother Paul always says? If you're afraid, just do it in fear. You think Moses wasn't afraid when he reached down to pick up that serpent? I promise you, when Moses reached down to pick up that serpent, he was afraid he was going to get bitten. But he did it anyway. He did it in fear. He did it because God told him to do it. If you'll just obey the voice of God today, if you'll just listen to the voice of God today, when he says throw it down, when he says pick it back up, and I'm going to use it for my glory, I'll use it to accomplish the miraculous. Moses could have looked at that serpent until the cows came home, and it would have never turned back into a rod until he obeyed God and he reached down and he picked it up, and it became a rod in his hand. Moses would have missed out on the miraculous. I wonder how many children of God today are missing out on the miraculous because they will not give it to God. I wonder how many children of God, the Lord has amazing things in store for you in your life, but he can't do it because you won't give it to him. I wonder how many times we miss out on the miraculous in our life. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, Jesus said. They're going to cast out devils. They're going to speak with new tongues. They're going to take up serpents, and they shall drink any deadly thing, and it shall not harm them. They're going to lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. What was Jesus talking about? He wasn't talking about physically handling a serpent. He wasn't talking about physically picking up snakes. He was talking about taking it by the tail. I knew it was going to happen. He was talking about taking it by the tail. He was talking about facing your fears today. Come on. He was talking about walking in your God-given apostolic authority today. He was talking about taking it by the tail. I wonder if there's anybody in this room today that's tired of fleeing in fear. I wonder if there's anybody in this room today that's tired of living below their privileges. I wonder if there's anybody in this room today that says, my past just won't let go of me. I gotta give it to God today. I wonder if there's anybody in this room that'll reach down and take it by the tail today. These altars are open. Come on, these altars are open.